In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. When the Catholic Church speaks of tradition, it refers to the apostolic tradition, with uppercase, or to those traditions that form the set of truths that the apostles received from Jesus, or by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and that they transmitted out loud, although some of these things are not written in the Bible. We do not speak here of human traditions or customs that may be temporary or open to criticism. For this reason, tradition, or traditions, as truths of faith transmitted from the apostles, are a source of faith for us. Consider the First Council in Jerusalem. There, the apostles, bishops, and priests met to discuss whether the law of Moses should be binding on Gentile converts. In other words, whether Gentiles should obey certain Old Testament teachings, biblical teachings, or not. The council, to say that they were not bound, did not resort to any word of Jesus or to any writing of the New Testament. The basis of this decision was the authority of the council presided over by Pope St. Peter the Apostle. The "we believe" said by Peter was decisive, and these beliefs were not written anywhere. Jesus himself supported the oral, unwritten tradition of the Pharisees and says, "The teachers of the law and the Pharisees sat in the chair of Moses. You must obey them and do what they say, but not do what they do, because they don't do what they say." Matthew chapter 23, verses 2-3. Therefore, we can ask, where in the Bible does it say that the Bible is the only source of faith? Where does it say that the only truths that we should believe are said to be in the Bible? Let us remember that there are truths that are not in the Bible. Please read John chapter 21, verse 25. John chapter 20, verse 30, 2 John chapter 12. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 15, it is said, "Stand firm then, brothers, and keep the traditions that we taught you, whether by word of mouth or by letter. I praise the Lord because you remember me and keep the traditions as I have transmitted." Please see other texts. Our Lord Jesus Christ did not write or command to write. If he would command to write, perhaps now there would be 11 Gospels or more. Jesus Christ commanded to preach or proclaim the gospel to all creation, Mark chapter 16, verse 15. And many things that were preached are not in the Bible. If all the things that Jesus did had been written, not even the whole world would be enough to contain the books that would have been written, John chapter 21, verse 25. Christ commanded to preach everything. He literally says, "Go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teach them to observe all the commands I gave you. And look, I am with you always, yes, to the end of time." Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 to 20. And how do we know what the entirety is if it is not written? There is the apostolic tradition, that tradition of things of faith, which have been transmitted orally from the apostles to us. Some of these truths, the Church, with her authority, has defined to be safely believed, such as the virginity of our mother, the Virgin Mary, or the presence of Jesus in the Eucharist, or the Assumption, or the Immaculate Conception of Mary. The apostolic tradition clears up many doubts about how to interpret some truths written in the Bible, including those truths about the divinity of Christ or about the resurrection, which many Christians throughout the centuries have denied and continue to deny. Let's see what St. Irenaeus, who lived from the year 140 to 205, said. "In all the churches of the world, the tradition of the apostles is kept alive, because we can count each and every one of their successors down to us. As it would be long to enumerate here the list of bishops who successively occupied the chair of bishops, who were ordained by the apostles themselves, it suffices to cite the chair of Rome, the largest and oldest of the churches, known everywhere and founded by St. Peter the Apostle and St. Paul the Apostle. The tradition of this church is enough to confuse the pride of those who by their malice have turned away from the truth, for certainly the preeminence of this church of Rome is such that all the churches which still preserve the apostolic tradition are all in agreement with its teachings." St. Irenaeus names the first popes after Peter: Linus, Anacletus, Clement I, Evaristus, It is not necessary to seek the truth in others. It is easy to receive it from the church. The teaching of the church is everywhere and always the same. It is based on the testimony of the prophets, the apostles, and all the disciples. We receive that faith from the church as a precious deposit, encased in an excellent glass. Where the church is, there is the Spirit of God, and where the Spirit of God is, there is the church and all grace. Tertullian said in the 2nd century, "Who are you and where do you come from? At the beginning, you were in the bosom of the Catholic Church. When you separated from it, who gave you the mission to preach these new doctrines? Anyone who speaks in the name of God must be sent by God. Prove your mission. Show the origin of your churches. Say your bishops, who succeeded each other from the beginning, in such a way that the first bishop had as guarantor and predecessor one of the apostles, or one of the apostolic men who remained until the end in communion with the apostles. It is well established that all doctrine that is in accordance with those parent churches and sources of faith must be considered as true, since it contains, without any doubt, what those churches received from the apostles of Christ and Christ of God." Thus, there is an oral tradition which was transmitted from the apostles. Let us not forget that the Bible was established as such, with all its books, in the year 393, at the Council of Hippo, or Synod of Hippo, and the year 397 at the Council of Carthage. And yet, before the Bible existed as such, the Church existed, and the faithful had a solid and unquestionable faith, based on oral tradition, guided by the authority of the Pope, Peter the Apostle's successor. For this reason, the Church is necessary according to the plan of Christ, and so is the Pope. Otherwise, during the first 4 centuries, without a Church and without authority, without a Bible and without authentic traditions, the faithful would have fallen into error and the Church of Christ would have disappeared. The Bible and tradition are 2 sources of revelation which complement each other. But as the Catholic Catechism number 83 says, this apostolic tradition must be distinguished from disciplinary, liturgical, or devotional theological traditions, born in the course of time in the local churches. These constitute particular forms in which the great tradition receives expressions adopted to different places and different times. Only in the light of the great tradition they can be maintained, modified, or also abandoned under the guidance of the magisterium of the Church. Yes, we cannot forget that the Church teaches through the authority of the Pope, who gives us a guarantee that our faith is authentic, especially when the Pope teaches a truth ex cathedra, or papal infallibility, that is, with all his authority, with the desire to impose a truth of faith and customs, so that it is believed by all the faithful as revealed. In this case, we say that it cannot be wrong, because it is infallible, because if he could be wrong, we would say that we could never be sure of any truth, and therefore, each one could have an opinion on anything in his own way, and there would be no unity. So when the Bible needs interpretation, only the Pope, as Christ's representative, can authentically interpret it. It is not that the magisterium of the Church or the authority of the Pope is above what the Bible says, but it is at the service of it, since the Pope helps us to understand it and not make mistakes in interpretation. Our Lord Jesus Christ gave him his authority by saying, "What you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and what you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." In this way, we see that the sacred scripture, meaning the word of God written in the Bible, tradition, meaning revelation orally transmitted, and the magisterium of the Church are intimately united, so that none can survive without the others, and the 3 complement each other to clarify the revelation of God to men. What happens when we only have the sacred scripture or the Bible? Each one interprets it in his own way, as if he were the highest authority or the Pope of his Church, and thus there are as many interpretations as there are people. Hence, so much division of the separated brothers or Protestants into thousands of different churches. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.